Turn, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 31, page 47 in your Schofield Bible. Starting with verse 43, we'll read responsibly through verse 49, the 49th verse being the text verse for this evening's message. Let us stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Read the verses responsively. Laban answered and said unto Jacob, "These daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto their children which they have borne? Now therefore come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee." And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, "Gather stones." And they took stones and made an heap, and they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jigger Sahadutha. I always read through a passage before I get up here and make an idiot of myself, but I missed that one somehow. But Jacob called it Galil. Together on verse 38, please. And Laban said, "This heap is a witness between me and thee this day." Therefore was the name of it called Galil. And together also on the text verse, "And Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another." And let's pray. Father, this, of course, is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for each of us to hear thy word. There's been a lot going on this evening, and we've just enjoyed it all so very, very much. But the focal point of all of it is the preaching of thy word, and we're privileged to hear from thy book tonight and to know that you wrote it and to know that you have spoken to the man who will preach to us. It comforts us to know that we have this kind of privilege, and it also obligates us to hear it carefully that we might be willing to have our lives changed thereby. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak tonight. The title of my message is one word. That word is Mizpah. Mizpah. That's the wife of Mr. Pop. And I want to teach you all the Bible I can tonight. And, of course, all the little Pop children. And I hesitate to begin a sermon with this story, but it's an interesting story. The word Mizpah is a misunderstood word in the Bible. I'm going to actually shake a little confidence that you have in that word and the story about or surrounding that word. But several years ago, we were on a radio broadcast every morning here. I went off air often. In fact, I decided for several months to go off air saying goodbye. God bless you. Listen to me over here now. Over here, listen to me. No talking. I went off the air saying goodbye, God bless you, and Mizpah. Well, Mizpah means the Lord rest between thee and me while we're absent one from the other. But I didn't tell the people that. I just say goodbye, God bless you, and Mizpah. And then I said to the people, if you'll write me and tell me what Mizpah means, I'll send you a book as a gift. And folks were writing and telling me what they thought it meant, and some got it right and some got it wrong. And for several months, we did that. Then after I thought that had run its course, I decided to do the same thing with the word Maranatha. So that means, behold, the Lord cometh. And so I said, now, if you will write me and tell me what the word Maranatha means, I'd go off the air saying goodbye, God bless you, and Maranatha. And folks would write me. One morning, I rushed down here and had an appointment at 8 o'clock, broadcast at 9. Had an appointment at 8 o'clock with a fellow who was a terrible addict. He was addicted to all of it, and I talked to him for an hour and labored, and the demons of hell were fighting there. And all of a sudden, my secretary said, they're playing the theme. Well, I hadn't prepared. I didn't know it was that late. I rushed in, and I said what I could. And going off the air, I always said goodbye, God bless you, and Maranatha. But having talked to this dope addict, I went off the air and said goodbye, God bless you, and marijuana. And so I can truthfully say I got more mail that day than I'd gotten any other single day. And I didn't catch it, but it was over, and somebody rushed to my office door and said, preacher, do you know what you said? I said, goodbye, God bless you, and Maranatha. They said, that's what I wish you'd have said, but that's not what you said. I want to read for you. Let's pray first. Father, help us now as we speak. Give us, I pray, a truth that will help us, encourage us, strengthen us, and bless us so we can be used of God to encourage others and bless others and strengthen others. In Jesus' name, amen. The word Maranatha, and I want you to listen to me very carefully as I introduce the message. The word Maranatha, the word mizpah, it means what you think it means. The Lord rest between thee and me, or watch between thee and me, while we're absent one from another. In fact, it says it in my text here, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee, who were absent one from another. Now this was a place where a covenant was made between Jacob and his father-in-law, Laban. Now what we think this means is, and I really hate to tell you because it's going to mess up a beautiful, beautiful thought for you. You think it means they were saying, well, we're going to have to be parted from each other, we're going to miss each other, and so the Lord rest between us while we're away from each other. The truth is, this pact was made when Laban and Jacob were angry with each other and having a fuss with each other, and it was not a congenial separation at all. In fact, just a few verses before, listen to this, and Jacob was wroth, or angry, and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Well, I won't go into the story as to why they were estranged from each other, but this was not a happy, sweet little, the Lord watch between thee and me, beloved, while we cannot be together. No. They had built this place to separate what was Laban's from what was Jacob's. And they said, the Lord's going to see to it now. If you cross over and get some of mine, God's going to be watching between you and me. And Jacob said, yeah, and if you walk over and get some of mine, God's going to be watching between you and your name. So I messed up a beautiful little story. Poems have been written about it, about the Lord rest between thee and me. But it was not a congenial thing. It was a matter of anger, a matter of a dispute between a father-in-law and his son-in-law, which is a normal thing that happens to all father-in-laws and sons-in-law. And so let me have your attention. Abby, let me get my mic here. And let me have your attention, please, while I talk with you. I'll get my own microphone. All right. Now, I think you broke it. Now, here we go. I knew that if you stayed here long enough, you'd be worth something someday. I knew that. Jacob was facing reality. He was alone with God in the night. He is facing two things with fear. Hear me? Number one, he's facing his past. Number two, he's facing his future. And he is fearful about both of those things. In the first place, Jacob is facing his past. The meanness of taking advantage of his brother Esau and obtaining his brother's Esau's birthright for a bowl of soup, or red soup, or chili, if you please. For that little bowl of chili, Jacob tricked his brother of his birthright. his birthright, giving Jacob the double portion of the inheritance from his father, which was rightly Esau's, but Jacob got a double portion of the inheritance in the birthright. But that isn't all. It gave him the right to be sort of the pastor of the family. I'm talking about the big circle family, and or shall I say, the priestly rights of the family. Now that he had cheated from Esau, and the double portion of the inheritance he had cheated from Esau, but that isn't all. More important than all of this, he had cheated Esau out of the right to be in the lineage of the Messiah. Now these three amazing big giant things, the double portion of the inheritance, the priestly rights for the family, the right to be in the lineage of the Messiah himself, were sold to Jacob because Esau thought he was going to die, and sold for a bowl of red soup. Now, so Jacob was worried about that. He was afraid about his past. Now, that isn't all. Worse, the deception of his father, when Jacob made himself to appear to be hairy upon what they thought was his father's deathbed, and lied and deceived his father, making his father think that Jacob was Esau, and Jacob received the blessing of his father, whom they thought was dying. 20 years outside the will of God. All these things in Jacob's past. And Jacob was concerned. He was facing these two things. First, he was facing his past. He was worried about his past. He was concerned about his past. In fact, he was fearful to face God because of his past. And after he had cheated Esau out of his birthright and out of the blessing of their father, then for 20 years he was backslidden outside the will of God. That isn't all. There was strife between him, as I said a while ago, and his father-in-law, Laban, and a painful, unpleasant parting that was taking place at the time of the word Mizpah. He was also, his was a guilty and remorseful mind. He had spoken bitter things to Laban. He lived the kind of life that wasn't pleasing to God. He had wasted 20 years of his life, and he had cheated his brother of his birthright and also the blessing of what they thought was their dying father. So Jacob was haunted by his past, but that isn't all. Jacob also was worried about his future. For in just a while, in the morning, he must face Esau. Now Esau was a big, strong guy, and Jacob was a little sissy guy. Esau was a hunter, and Jacob was a cook. God have mercy. Anybody, I'm worried about his, I'm worried about him. I think he may have been, anyway, something wrong with anybody that's making soup while his brother's gone hunting, I'll tell you for sure. But Esau was a big burly fella and could have made soup out of Jacob for that matter. And tomorrow, Jacob is going to face his brother. So here is Jacob, worried about his past, his cheating of Esau, his deception of his father, his 20 wasted years, and his estrangement with Laban, his father-in-law, and awful things he had thought, said, and done. Now he's worried about his future. For tomorrow, he must face Esau, and he's afraid to face him. But that isn't all. There was anxiety in his heart about Rachel and the children. What will happen to them? If Esau kills me, and well, he may have almost had a right to, what will happen to Rachel? And what will happen to the children? Then what about his personal future? What is going to happen to me, Jacob was thinking. What will happen to my wife? What will happen to my children? And what will happen to me? And what is Esau going to do to me? So there is Jacob. He is worried about his past, and he is worried about his future. Now, there are two things tonight that I want to show you. One is the place was called Mizpah, which means the Lord watch between me and thee, but it's not what you think it is. The word watch there is a word like a policeman would watch for a criminal. It's the word of a sentinel walking guard in the army, trying to keep the enemy from the camp. It's not the Lord take care of you and the Lord take care of me. The Lord place his hand on you and the Lord place his hand on me. Are you listening? No, it was not that at all. It was the Lord is watching, Jacob said, and Laban said. Laban said, this is mine and this is yours. And there'll be a marker here representing the dividing line. And Laban said, Jacob, if you get over here and get some of mine, God is watching you and walking guard. And he likewise, Jacob said, Laban, if you come over here and get some of mine, the Lord is watching between thee and me while we're absent one from another. So as a soldier guards and stands guard, or as a policeman does likewise, God was saying, I'm standing between Jacob and his past, and I'm standing between Jacob and his future. God is saying, hear me now, Jacob, I will not let the past overtake you. And Jacob, I will not let the future harm you. Now tonight, I promise you, there are two things that worry most of us. Number one, our past. And number two, our future. I used to say there are three things I worry about while I'm preaching. Before I preach, I worry about what I'm going to say. And while I'm preaching, I worry about what I'm saying. And after I'm finished preaching, I worry about what I said. Now, Jacob was sort of like that. Jacob was worried about his past. He was concerned about his future. And the honest, simple truth is, every adult in this room has those same two concerns. All of us have ours. First, the past. All of us have ours in the past we would like to undo. We have words we wish we hadn't said. We have places we wish we hadn't gone. We have things we wish we hadn't have done. And God is saying, oh, I love this. I love it. Rejoice and listen to me and have a spell. God is saying, I am standing between you and your past. God says to Jacob, I know, Jacob, that you deceived your brother Esau, but that is under the blood of Christ that will be shed one day on Calvary. I know that you deceived your father and made yourself with the hair of an animal skin to deceive your father. I know that. But, Jacob, you're justified, and that's been wiped off of your record. It was wiped off of your record at Bethel when you came and trusted the coming Messiah as your Savior. And when you played a space of stone there and said, I'll call this place the house of God and I'll give my tenth of my income. Jacob, when you got saved, all of that was erased off of your record. And God was walking guard between Jacob and his past. Well, praise God, he's doing the same thing for you tonight. God is walking guard. The past is past, ladies and gentlemen. I'm saying tonight, forget the past. Quit worrying about the past. God's forgotten it, now you forget the past. If God has forgotten it, you forget it too. It is under the blood, so forget it. It is in the depths of the sea, so forget it. It is behind the back of God, so forget it. It is your sins have been separated from you as far as the east is from the west, so forget it. It's as far from you as because it is blotted out. So forget it. He remembers it no more. Your record is clean. Did you hear me tonight? You can forget the past because there's a God who's walking guard between you and your past. Oh, you say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. God doesn't either. No, he doesn't know what you've done because God in his omniscience has blotted from his memory all the things that you have done if you trusted Christ. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, your sins are gone. Now your soul is free. And in your heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Hey, that's good enough for thee. You'll live eternally. Praise God, your sins are gone. Oh, but you say, preacher, I can't sleep at night for thinking about my past. Well, just don't remind God of it because God has forgotten about it. And you forget about it. You see, you can't undo your past, but God has undone your past. You can't blot out your past, but God has blotted out your past. And God says to Jacob, Jacob, I want you to know something. I'm walking guard between you and your past. I'm walking guard between the sin you committed when you cheated Esau out of his birthright, the sin of deceiving your father on what you thought was his deathbed. I'm walking guard between you and 20 years of being outside the will of God. Let me tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you get busy serving God today and forget about yesterday. Somebody asked me one time, said, Brother Hiles, don't you think the devil could get you lost? No, because God's walking guard. I said to him, if Satan got me lost, first thing you'd have to do is go to the depths of the sea and get my sins. Because my sins are separated from far from me as the deepest sea. Then I said, You'd have to get behind the back of God and get my sins because my sins are behind the back of God. Then I said, you'd have to go east till east is east no more and west till west is west no more and get my sins and bring them back to each other because my sins are separated from me as far as the east is from the... Hey, you better rejoice about that. Hey, you got enough crooked things in your life, boy. You better thank God that's what it is. Then I said the next thing you'd have to do, you'd have to go to heaven to the mercy seat. I mean, you'd have to go to heaven and the mercy seat and lift up the blood of Jesus Christ off the mercy seat and get my sins because the Bible said my sins are under the blood. But that isn't all. I said, then you'd have to erase my name from the book of life, but you got cherubim guarding the book of life, and you couldn't get by them. But if the devil got me lost, you'd have to go to the deepest sea, go east to east is not east, and west to west is not west, go behind the back of God, go to the mercy seat and lift up the blood and get my sins and then erase my sins in the book of life. Then the devil would have to cure God's memory loss about my sins. And then the devil would have to come to the hands of Jesus Christ and unpry his hands. Because the Bible says in John 10:27-29 that Jesus holds me in his hand. And then he'd have to get the hand of God the Father, because God the Father holds me in his hand. Jesus said, my Father, which gave to me, is greater than all. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then to get me, he'd have to come where I am. And guess where I am? I am in Christ. He'd have to come inside Christ to get me. If he came inside Christ, then he'd be saved, because if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. And he wouldn't want to get me out. I'm trying to say tonight, God has said, my sins are behind me. They're blotted out. They're as deep as the deepest sea. They're separated from me as far as the east is from the west. I'm saying, hey, Jacob, I know you're a dirty crook. I know what you did. But God said, I'm walking guard here, Jacob. You can't get back there. Now you forget it. I'm walking guard between you and your sins and your past. Let God come between you and your past. Don't let it ruin your present. You, like Jacob, can become a prince. God is only interested in what you are today. I remember years ago when I used to play golf. I quit that when I got right with God. If you played golf the way I did, you wouldn't have been right with God either, by the way. I was playing hole number 9, Henderson Park Golf Course in Dallas, Texas. I made a something bogey, quadruple bogey. It was a par 4 hole, I can still recall. And, in fact, I had to mortgage the house to buy enough golf balls to replenish the ones I put in the lake. When I played golf, if there's water on the course, I hit it. If somebody spit, my ball would land right in the middle of their spit. I had a horrible number 9. Now, I went to number 10, and I couldn't forget number 9. You know what I'm talking about. So I took a swing, a practice swing, at my ball on number 10, thinking about number 9. And I did like that. On my back swing, I knocked the ball the wrong way, 150 yards. I was lying to 150 yards behind the tee box. And why? Because I was thinking about number 9. Now, you got some things that happened on your number 9th hole you'd like to forget. Well, then forget about them. God has. And you're gonna wreck number 10 if you don't quit thinking about number 9. I'm saying you can't do a thing about it, but bless God, he's forgotten about it. Now you get busy and serve God today because he's walking guard between you and your past. That isn't all. Not only is he walking guard between you and your past, but he's walking guard between you and your future. Jacob said, I'm worried about my past. God said, I'm standing between you and your past. I'm walking guard. That's what it means. The Lord watched between thee and me. The Lord walked guard between thee and me. And not only was Jacob, God walking guard between Jacob and his past, but God was walking guard between Jacob and his future. Jacob was concerned, as I said a while ago, facing Esau. Esau could have made hay out of Jacob. I mean, he could have made duck soup out of Jacob. And Jacob's going to face him. And by the way, if you got something in your heart against somebody, you go back and face them. And Jacob said, I should have done this 20 years ago. Why have I waited 20 years? I don't know. But tomorrow morning, I'm going to my brother, and I'm going to say I'm sorry and try to make it right with my brother. If he hits me, okay. If he kills me, okay. But I'm going to make it right with my brother. And let me say this. If you are not right with anybody in this world, if there's something in your heart between you and anybody in this world, get it out tonight. Get it out tonight. All of us wonder about the future. Little children fret about the future as they grow up. Teenagers are graduating from high school and junior high this past week. You're fretting about your future and wondering what it's going to be. Some young ladies are wondering about your marriage. Dates have not come your way yet, and you wonder if and when and who it'll be. Some young couples have little children, and you're wondering how you can rear the little children. And some of you have teenagers, and you have anxiety about them because this is the toughest age in the history of our country to rear a child. And you have apprehension and fears about the future. I do. I confess tonight, your pastor has apprehension about the future. Will I stay physically well? I think about it every week. How long will I be strong enough to continue pastoring and operating this giant machine here? Will I stay mentally alert? I recall years ago when I went to Maranatha College, Josh Cederholm was just 70, and he was president, founder of the president of the college. He was sitting there on the platform, and I could tell Dr. Cederholm was losing his rationale. He was just sitting there. No longer president of the college. He just sat over there, and he was becoming... senile at the age of 70. I wonder about that. I fret about it. Will I make it financially? Mrs. Hiles and I, can I support her like she ought to be supported? If something happens to me, will she be cared for? I worry about the future. If I'm taken first, what will happen to Mrs. Hiles? How long can I pastor, I ask myself. Am I too old to pastor the young people? And I worry about that. How about the Y2K? Personally, I think God will take care of me in the Y2K as long as I can keep that basement full of food I got down there and that generator I bought. I think God will take care of me. But I worry about that. Will Social Security go broke? Will I have memory lapses every time I preach? The last thing I prayed tonight, dear God, keep my mind alert. Don't let me have memory lapse. Don't let me ruin this service. Everywhere I go, you see what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say I'm human just like you are. And I'm trying to say tonight to myself and to you, I'm trying to say that the same God that walks guard between me and my past walks guard between me and my future. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Hebrews 13:5. He will supply all my needs that I need according to his riches and glory. Philippians 4:19. He will lead me. Psalm 23:2-3. He will not record any sin against me. He walks guard between me and my sins of the past and walks guard between me and my sins of the future. Not only has he blotted out all of those, but bless God, he refuses to record all of these. Thank God tonight I don't have to worry about my sin. I can do business serving God and let him take care of my past sins and my future sins. I have to remind myself of that. I remind myself tonight. And I remind you tonight that the same God that watches between guards between you and your past likewise guards between you and your future. He ever liveth to make intercession for me. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. Isaiah 5:27. He that keepeth Israel will not slumber. Psalm 121:3. He encampeth round about me. Psalm 37:4. He is my fortress. Psalm 18:2. He is my rock. Psalm 31:3. He is my high tower. Psalm 144:2. He is my buckler. That buckler was a little kind of a shield that was attached to your wrist, a little miniature shield where you could throw it up like that. He is my buckler. He is my shield. Psalm 22:3. He is my horn. Psalm 18:2. He is my refuge. Psalm 46:1. He is my very present help in time of trouble, Psalm 46:1. He is my pavilion, Psalm 27:5. He is my intercessor, Hebrews 7:25. He is my shepherd, Psalm 23:1.
He is my foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11. He is my keeper, Psalm 121:5. He is my guard, Ezekiel 38:1. He is my guide, Psalm 48:14. He is my provider, Genesis 22:8. He is my succorer, Hebrews 2:18. He is my cornerstone, Psalm 118, 22. He is my defense, Psalm 58, verse 9. He is my shelter, Psalm 61 and verse 3. He's the rock of my strength, Psalm 62 and verse 7. He's my hiding place, Psalm 32 and verse 7. Let me first say to Jacob, Jacob, you're sitting, kneeling there at Jabbok. Tomorrow you face Esau and you're worried sick about your past. Jacob, quit worrying about your past. There's a God in heaven who's walking guard between you and your past, and he will not let your sins catch up with you.
But that isn't all, Jacob. That same God is standing between you and your future. Sure, you got to face Esau, but God's going to prepare Esau's heart. And I wish you could read again the story of Esau and Jacob. Jacob came to Esau and he said, Esau, I want you to forgive me. And he said, Esau, I've got all these things to give you. I've got all the cattle all lined up here and a bunch of things to give you. I want to give this to you. And God had tempered that old hard heart of that old hunter. And Esau said, Jacob, I don't need that. God's been good to me. And Jacob said, Esau, I want you to take it. And Esau said, not on your cotton-picking life am I going to take it. And Jacob said, look, Buster, you take it. And the truth is, Esau wouldn't take it. And the same God that took care of the past of Jacob has now taken care of the future of Jacob. And Jacob, I remind you tonight, you're there, you're fretting about your past and about your future. There's a God in heaven who's walking guard between you and your past, but bless God, he's also walking guard between you and your future.
And then I not only remind Jacob of that, I remind myself of that. Because I must remind myself of that. Mistakes that I've made, they're all underneath the blood. What sins I've committed, I think maybe two or three. I don't know what they are, but surely there's some back there somewhere. But whatever they are, they're all cared for. And the God of glory, the everlasting arms, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the King of glory is walking guard between me and my past, and I've got to remind myself of that. But I also have to remind myself at the age of 72, and nearer 73 now than 72, that the same God that took care of my past can take care of my future. And that reminds you of that tonight. Whatever you've done in the past, forget it. He has. Don't lie there awake. Don't lie awake at night. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Lie awake at night and shout because God doesn't even know that you've done that. Let me remind you, dear child, with your mother and father saying goodbye to each other and their marriage being broken and you being torn between your father and your mother and you have to go visit, you live with one and go visit the other on the weekends, and you wonder about your future, let me tell you that our Heavenly Father is the one who's guarding your future, and he'll guide you step by step and take care of you. Let me remind you, bus kid, wondering about your future, the Heavenly Father's got it all planned and charted, so quit fretting about it. Let me remind you, dear middle-aged one, man, wondering how you're going to be able to get enough money to take care of your family, and you've worked hard, and your body's getting tired, you wonder how long you can work at the factory or use the hammer and the saw, of the trial, how long can you do it? Let me remind you, hallelujah, there's a God in heaven who said, I will supply all your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you.
And then, those of you facing, as we are, the senior years of your life, let me remind you, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the fact that Jacob could look back toward his sins and not even see them.
Jacob said, Father, how about that sin back yonder when I cheated Esau out of his birthright? And the Heavenly Father said,
I don't remember that. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
Well, that bowl of chili? God said, I don't remember a bowl of chili at all. Look, God, have you lost your memory?
No, I've chosen to forget every sin you committed.
What about that time when I deceived my father and made him think that I was Esau and I got the blessing? How about that? And the heavenly father says, I don't know a thing about that. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go. Neath the crimson flow, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away.
Okay, said Jacob. You don't remember it? I'm going to forget it too. Jacob had a glorified spell because the father is walking guard between Jacob and his past. But how about the future? How about tomorrow when I face Esau? How about my life? I'm getting old. I'm getting up in my 90s now. I'm getting old. How will I be cared for? What if Esau takes all I have? Who's going to care for my wife, Rachel, and my children? How about it? And God says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, you have already come. His grace will lead you safe thus far, and grace will lead you home. The God of Jacob lives tonight. And if you're God's child tonight, that God is walking guard between you and your past, and hallelujah, between you and your future. So quit worrying about the past, and quit worrying about the future. And get busy serving God in the present. Our Heavenly Father, bless the simple message from a simple preacher. Encourage the hearts of the people. There's some folks tonight, dear God, who've had pretty wicked pasts. I'm thankful that you don't know about it. You've made it so that your memory has been erased, or has erased all of those things. I pray you'd help the people realize there's a God in heaven who walks guard between them and the past. And then those of us who get apprehensive, and all of us do, about the future, help us to be reminded and remind ourselves often that same God that led us yesterday will lead us tomorrow.